Welcome to Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amir.
And Jesus has not arrived. Because in the Bible, Jesus is known for being late. And I noticed this as I'm reading through the Gospels. This is not anything I'm learning in school other than the fact that I'm just reading. I'm like, hold up, this dude is always late everywhere we go. And that's so contrary to what I learned growing up with
he was an on-time
God is an on-time God.
We talking about his son, though.
He may not come when you want him, but he is always on time. Unless it's Jesus that's doing the coming.
It's on CP time.
All right, so this is just an idea we mentioned, I think, before once. It was kind of just a side comment, but
okay.
This is a real thing.
Yes, like, it is a real thing.
So, all right. So let's start with
his reputation.
Yeah. So Jesus has a reputation of being late.
Okay.
In the scriptures, in John chapter 11, this is a story of Lazarus,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus gets word that Lazarus, whom he loves, is sick, and so Jesus is with the disciples,
busy
chilling. Jesus says, this illness will not end in death. And so Jesus waits days until he gets up to leave. So by the time they get to Lazarus, Lazarus is dead. He's been dead long enough to have been buried and entombed. And when Jesus tries to go in.
That's hella late.
Yeah. They say he stinks. So this is many days has gone by since Lazarus has died. Jesus is crying, but I'm like, what are you crying for, Jesus?
You ain't right.
You could have been here and you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is not written in real time. This is written after the fact. So this is after Jesus has died and lots of things have happened.
Right.
When the writer decides to write this account
of how it went down.
The choice is made to explicitly point out Jesus waited to get there and he got there after he needed to get there. That's number one.
That's number one.
Number two, in Matthew 25, Jesus is going through a string of parables, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus makes this point. He says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. And then he talks about 10 bridesmaids who took oil in their lamps to meet the bridegroom. All right. Now, if you grew up in church, you understand that Jesus is the bridegroom.
Right.
All right. So the story says in Matthew 25, verse 5, as the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him at midnight. This is what. Okay. So just to clarify what's happening, like culturally during this time, marriage was a negotiation between families. It was an exchange of property. And sometimes these negotiations would run long. But the fact that this is at midnight when everyone is like this.
And they mentioned that they got drowsy.
They got drowsy.
So he was so late, they went to sleep.
They went to sleep. And Jesus is like, the first thing he says is the kingdom of heaven is like this. Like, this is... this is me all the time, is what I hear Jesus saying.
On its way.
The kingdom of heaven is like this. The bridegroom is late.
Mm.
Like, the bridegroom, like, Jesus even is acknowledging his own reputation that you got to be ready because I can show up whenever.
Anytime.
After midnight, you know, whenever. After you die, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be there. So at the back of my mind as I'm reading these scriptures, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. It just doesn't seem like that. All right. Point number three. This is a previous chapter. So in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the return. And this is Jesus' return. It says in verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. He's talking about himself. Then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the sign. Blah, blah. Trumpets call. All of that. Fig tree learned his lesson. Then you get down to verse 34, and Jesus says about his own return,
mm-hmm.
truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. The generation that he's talking to has long passed away. And the return that Jesus spoke of has not occurred. Hmm. We're 2,000 years late at this point. Mm. And it's easy for us to spiritualize things in church and say, well, Jesus didn't mean age, like the age that they were living in or that generation.
Right.
Jesus meant the age. So he's like maybe millennia, maybe multiple millennia. That's not what anyone thought who was listening to Jesus.
Right.
The people that Jesus was talking to understood, yo, he's going to be back soon. And so what they ended up doing was preparing. So Jesus is telling them stories about the bridegroom and the 10 virgins being prepared. Mm-hmm. So people were prepared because mm-hmm. Jesus is coming back any day. Mm-hmm. So what happened was years started to go by and Jesus didn't show up. People started to die off. Paul started his ministry because the Pauline epistles are written before the Gospels. So Paul starts to write letters to the churches, encouraging them. Time is just moving. Mm-hmm. It's not until many years later where they start telling stories about Jesus and what Jesus has done, and the stories are starting to get mixed up and, you know, not clear and more exaggerated, right, and things like that, that the gospel writers sat down and said, no, we need to iron this out.
Yeah, standardized.
The reason why they waited so long is because they thought Jesus was coming back and there was no reason for them to write it down. Mm-hmm. But when they realized Jesus was late, they were like, oh, we got to get the story straight because who knows when this mm-hmm. guy's coming back. Mm-hmm. And so after Paul's letters, after all of those events, then you start to get the written gospels. So those are four pieces of evidence that's leading me to think that Jesus's reputation was known. his name rung out through the Jerusalem streets that this dude is not going to be there. Yeah. So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today. Like Jesus is just known. Oh, Jesus is known for being late.
Sometimes I'd be like, what is going to do it? And straw.
You think this is the one?
Only because timeliness is so important in, or understanding of timeliness is so important in building your faith. At least that is my experience. So you don't get cliches like he may not come when you want him, but he be there right on time without somebody experiencing the letdown of him not showing up when you want him.
Right.
But also showing up in what we call the clutch, where I feel like people have had these 11th hour experiences. Some people have had the 11th hour and 59th minute experience. And this is the heart of their testimony. He'll be there right on time is the heart of their faith statement. Not so much he may not come when you want him. I feel like we have discussed all of the many ways that this thing is imperfect, and timeliness is, or just the understanding of time, or being fit, the sensation of feeling rescued or cared for or protected, plucked. Mm-hmm. All of these things kind of play into some of the stronger guidances of where you strengthen and build your faith, that God is beyond time and therefore cannot be not on time. But it's like right there. Like I've definitely had the moment like, really not there? Not. You ain't think that was the emergency? So you didn't think that was the time?
So that's part of the reason why this is important. Because we've all been in that situation where we like, yo, this is really the last minute.
Any moment now would be great.
You're really taking a long time, God. You know? And I just want to affirm your anxiety that this dude is known for being so. In school,
not making it up.
I got a reputation. I didn't realize this, but somebody came up to me and was like, you know, you're really hard on God. I was like, that's probably true, I guess. Mm. And then another day, somebody else came up to me and was like, you should cut Jesus a break. And I was like, but this is the way that I think about, like, I'm just reading, I'm being fair. I feel like it may not be servicing us well to say things that are not true, or to avoid seeing things that are true. Mm-hmm. The people who are reading these gospels, they weren't like us. They weren't sitting around waiting for a paycheck to come and, you know, the light bills ado and all of that stuff.
Right. That's capitalism.
Light bill. Like I'm somebody's grandfather. They weren't
your inner old man.
Right. It wasn't a list of these first world problems that they had.
Exactly.
They were being, when I say persecuted, I mean literally killed. Rome was leaning on them so hard. Mm-hmm. There was a huge Jewish revolt called the Maccabean Revolt that they're living through. This is leading all the way up to and through the destruction of the temple by Nero. Like, that's their worship space. These people were on the run. The letters to them and the gospels to them were to encourage them to continue going in this work, because you could die any day. Mm-hmm. But this is important. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that Jesus has not come yet, they're not just looking for him to come like I was and save him from bills. Right. They're looking for him to come to save their lives. Right. And so the fact that Jesus is not there is a major problem for them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this writing, I can't help but wonder how much of it is there to alleviate that anxiety that's, yo, I thought he was going to be back. He said he was going to be back. And the fact that he's written in these gospels this way, I don't think it's derogatory at all. I think they're telling the story the way that they understood it.
Yeah.
And so if they understood that, then maybe we should at least look at that, maybe fix some of the things that we think, because during the times when we need someone or God to come, it's just not the best thing to lie to ourselves.
So is it a lie? And now, because I don't want to make light of it, because let me tell you, this right here, we always talk about messing with people's Jesus. Mm-hmm. This could do it. So where do we get these? Where do we get these ideas about the concept of waiting? How much time really bears into, and your understanding of time really bears into ultimately how you see and how you expect to engage with God, how you expect to engage with Jesus. I just feel like people have experienced the suspension of time, where you're thinking that things have to happen immediately, but you've experienced, let's say, an expansion of time that you didn't expect. It gave you more time to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. Then what we were saying about being in the 11th hour, people have experienced rescue at the last minute. They've experienced certain things. A lot of the things that are written, as we look back at them, I feel like they are builders of your faith. Like, if you could expect this in the human condition, here's something that I'm giving to you to help you navigate that tough point. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the point of some of these writings, though. So the Gospel of Mark is written first. Mm-hmm. After that, I think it's Matthew. Mm-hmm. All right. So Matthew is written during that heavy persecution. So when Matthew is telling a story about the bridegroom coming at midnight, the readers are hearing that as an explanation for why it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the writer in Matthew is writing in real time saying, this is what Jesus said. I wrote it down when he said it.
Right.
He's writing Jesus'
words. They're trying to negotiate.
Right. As an affirmation that this is going to work out. It may be midnight. You may fall asleep.
Right.
You know, you may be gone through a lot of things, but it is going to happen. And that is the hope that is trying to be created through these writings. So the question becomes, why do we need God to be on time? Now, right. That seems like an easy question, like, because I need God to be on time. You know what I'm saying? So I can get my car out the shop so I could go to work.
Right. So that was my point. My point was, I don't think that we're lying to ourselves that Jesus is going to be right on time. What I think happens is, I just believe that spirit moves and faith moves. So things begin to happen. You're not waiting for an apparition. You're waiting for things to move through. You're waiting for a person to make a move. You're waiting for a heart to be touched. You're waiting for a process to either be initiated or come to a close, right? You're waiting for something that relates to time and will. Is it the will of God that it happened in this particular time? So I feel like when people negotiate that, you get both sides of that saying, he may not come when you want him. There have been life lessons learned when we thought he was going to do something, or we thought something was going to happen and it didn't happen the way we expected it to happen. But he'll be there right on time. There's usually, we have this hope for a better future than what we've experienced. It's almost like your mind is oriented to see God moving in a supernatural way, in ways that you did not anticipate, further beyond what you knew. You see what I'm saying? Like, I know what this problem or this issue or this situation is. And you know how you want that to work out. What you don't see is what's around the corner. What happens tomorrow? What happens on the back end of a situation as opposed to how it presents itself?
That works out. I guess what I'm struggling with is, it seems like no matter when relief comes, it's always the will of God. Like, that's such a magical phrase that you can apply everywhere. And I'm not saying specifically you. What I'm saying is, because there's this thing that we identify as the will of God that we don't know much about, that we don't interrogate, we can say that if Jesus gets there before it's the will of God, if Jesus gets there in the 11th hour, it's the will of God. If Jesus gets there after I've died and been buried, it's the will of God. That is kind of what prevents us from seeing plain truth that's in the scriptures that no, Jesus is late.
I'm trying to tell you.
So is that helping us? Maybe it is. Maybe we're saying
people are going to have a problem with this because they're going to say, I never thought about it from the perspective that these passages were written to encourage people to persevere as they waited. Mm-hmm. And they perished, ultimately perished. We don't know if those were violent deaths or if it was, you know, long life. But in every situation, right? Mm-hmm. But they perish because as they're waiting. So some people are going to have an issue with this because they're going to be like, they've been waiting? I didn't think about the fact that we've been waiting for 2,000 years, 2,000 plus. But again, I think that Christianity is a multi-layered, very complex thing. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to this, I think that people have strong faith experiences related to time, timeliness, and waiting. You are either shaken and you can be totally turned off by this, or you can be encouraged that whatever it's going to be is beyond, some of it is going to be beyond your control.
Yeah. So I understand. This is not even intended to be faith shaking. This is just intended to be like, yo, I'm reading this. Why are we lying to ourselves about this thing?
It might shake the table a little
because
bit.
Because for me.
Well, maybe my table's a little. Punctuality. Anyway. Maybe.
So punctuality is a convenience for me. It's not a requirement.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would prefer things happen when I need them to happen. But the requirement for me is that things are okay, whether on time, late, or beyond the time.
Right.
My comfort is in the fact that, yo, this is going to work out. Even if I can't get my car to shop and I can't go to work and I get fired and all that stuff, it's going to be okay.
Right.
I'm gonna figure a way out of this. God's gonna work through this or whatever.
Right.
The fact that we read that timeliness into the faith as a requirement is the thing that I'm asking us to interrogate through this process, because the truth is, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is late a lot. And so, if he doesn't care about the time, why do we care so much
about
the time?
Neither should you.
Because there are other things to care about.
This is true. But I feel like that lesson is sometimes learned when things do not happen within the time frame that we expect. Your attention ends up being turned. You have to find something else to do because you're not going to get some sort of either instantaneous or, again, within what you understand the true time frame to be. You're not going to get the satisfaction of, I don't know, the sensation of rescue or completion or whatever, because you needed it by Thursday.
Yeah, you want that victory. You want that.
You want it, but that might not be
that moment where God slides under the door like Indiana Jones and grabs the head. Like, that's an old reference, whatever. But like, God comes in at the last minute and saves the day.
Right. with lemon pepper wings.
The thing that sucks about that is if that were God's MO to come in at the last minute to save the day,
we wouldn't ask for
everything that usually happens before the last minute is not fun. It's not something we would be signing up for. Right. The despair, the hopelessness, all of that stuff is tied to our desire for God to swoop in and save the day at the last minute. I don't work that way. I'm like, yo, it's going to happen, whatever. Like, as we're recording this right now, my paycheck is later than I want it to be. It's causing some problems. But I am like, all right, cool. Jesus is doing what Jesus does.
I'm gonna chill out
because it's gonna come and it's gonna be okay. Like, because that's the main thing. It's not about time, it's about the condition that I end in.
True. I feel like I'm saying the same thing, but
you are. What with time?
Okay,
you want punctuality with it?
Not necessary. I think so, probably from a personality standpoint, but I do understand because I'm not the most patient person. So again, I think I just said that I've had to really relearn patience. I'm not great at it. I'm trying, but I'm not great at that. So I could see people mistaking their desire for instant gratification to have them to be kind of wrongheaded about this idea of punctuality. But I think I've experienced both sides of it. I've had those moments where I was like, now would have been great. But then I've had those moments where I was like, I couldn't even see this 5 steps ahead of me. I couldn't even see this outcome or these circumstances 5 steps ahead of me. I just think it's your ability to be critical and to also be wise. It is just wise to know if you're going to have a trust, if you're really going to have a trust, then it is wise not to worry if there is trust. So some of what we've described, the two differences, is kind of exercising that trust muscle to a point where you trust regardless of what it looks like. And a lot of people struggle with that because stuff don't be looking good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't always look positive. It doesn't always look like it might work out in your favor. But I think that the wisdom of being able to build faith and to understand that operating in trust really alleviates worry. I think that becomes the goal, as opposed to, let me see if I can get Jesus to move faster. That's not a good use of your energy.
Right, because he ain't going to listen. I'm telling you, this dude, this dude has a reputation. So one of the things that Matthew, the writer of Matthew, records about Jesus in Matthew 6, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? Mm-hmm. In a way, I'm like, this is more of Jesus being like, look, it's going to be all right.
I got you.
You worrying about it. You know what I'm saying? You worrying about me being on time. It's not going to add anything. This is a healthier way to see it, I believe, because time is not a factor here. Mm-hmm. Time is not, it's not like, look at the birds of the air. They don't reap what they sow. It doesn't say when, you know, in season, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, look, they know they're going to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. What if that were the posture? You know you're going to be taken care of.
Right.
What does the worrying about when that occurs happen? I mean, when does that matter if you know the outcome that you're going to be taken care of?
Right.
It's the time that causes the worry. It's the immediacy, the urgency that we create or that actually exists externally that increases the worry. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just like I'm getting to a place where I'm like, yo, all right.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, he tells a story about they went to this place to get some fried fish. This was in Jersey. Very famous place in Jersey. I forget the name. Mm-hmm. They're getting fish for the whole family. So they go in and the line is backed up. Black owned place. Everyone's in there. It's pretty much black. And there's the woman who owns the place. She's older. She's working there. And he's waiting in line for his food, You got all these people who were there before him still waiting, you know, people grumbling and all that stuff. And so he sees her shuffling around the counter. Mm-hmm. No hustle at all. I mean, she's older. She says, "I don't know what y'all complaining about. All my customers know I'm late." <That's> the, "All my customers know I'm late." Like, if you really Listen. Are one of us, then you know this is not, this is the way it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know this fish is good. You know how this, you know what this is going to get. Right. You're going to get out of this.
Right.
Either you want it or you don't, but you're going to get it. So that's kind of... That's kind of how I see Jesus. Like, Jesus, no, all my customers know I'm late. Like, you're going to get it, you know, and you're going to like it when you right. get it. But
we'll be hiding the list.
Right. Don't be back there grumbling.
I don't even know what you're grumbling for.
So that is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The question to you is, how do you adjust to the fact that he has a reputation mm-hmm. and he's probably lived up to that reputation in your life?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you keep getting mad about it, or do you make an adjustment?
I think you make an adjustment.
So, if you do, tell us what it looks like. I'm curious to see if you make the same adjustment I make, or you come up with a better way, or whatever.
Right.
All right, y'all. Hopefully, we didn't ruin Jesus too much for you.
Yeah, that wasn't the goal. Yeah.
For Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.